All right, everyone, as we head into this week's culture segment, we have made a new friend here at The Boundless Show. She visited us not too long ago. I have Trillia Newbell on the phone. Hey, Trillia.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Trillia is actually, she's the author of the book United, which is what we're going to talk about today, subtitled Captured by God's Vision for Diversity. But she also does so many other things. World in Journalism, which is my way, way past vocation before I just decided to get into this biz here with young adults, but with the Knoxville News Sentinel. She also works a lot and writes for Desiring God, True Woman, The Resurgence, The Gospel Coalition, and is out there with our friend Dr. Russell Moore with the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission for the Southern Baptist folks. So you have got a lot going on in addition to being a wife and mother.
You are right. I thankfully do everything part-time and mostly from home, so I'm very blessed to be able to do that.
That's cool. Well, I don't even know how you can put all that together and have it be part-time. That's, like, ridiculous. That sounds like a more than full-time job to even write four words for each of those groups. So, my goodness. Well, very cool. Well, in the midst of all this part-timeness, you wrote this book, which, again, how in the world do you fit that in? But you were out here at Focus on the Family, and we kind of started a discussion. You talked with employees here, and this is a fun conversation for us to have at Boundless because we're actually a pretty diverse listenership for the show, not only racially within the U.S., but we have a good international contingent. So we always love to bring that kind of perspective to the table when we talk here on the show. And so I think this is going to be a valuable conversation for all of our folks. So I want to start by asking you, because you are an African-American woman who married a white dude and now you have biracial kids. Okay, so you're going to be all angles of the table here from your own experience. And I want to start out by, you know, you're very much, you know, the biblical perspective on how God sees diversity, how he, you know, sees differences and the sameness and our identity in Christ and all that. What would you say is God, I mean, because I think a lot of this, when we think of diversity in the church, it's just kind of like, yeah, okay, so we have, you know, we have black churches, we have white churches, we have some churches that maybe they're, you know, a little bit of a mix. I think we see it very kind of rudimentary fashion.
Sure.
But what you talk more in a grand sense in the book of what God's vision for diversity is, and what would you say, you know, what is that vision, how it plays out, you know, and as it is applicable to today's church?
Great question. Well, first of all, I think it starts with creation. So he created us all in the image of God, and he's created us all equally, just straight out in the image of God. And so that's where it begins. And then if all throughout Scripture, he is working to redeem people, and he talks about nations and all nations and tribes and tongues worshiping him. Jesus tells his disciples the Great Commission, the first thing he wants them to do is to make disciples of all nations. And then in Revelations, we see us all, this big kingdom picture of all nations coming together, tribes and tongues, worshiping our Savior. And so it's so clear to me in Scripture that God celebrates diversity, and he rejoices in it, and the gospel is for all people. And so that is kind of the big picture that I see in the Scriptures. And then in terms of application, I think we can complicate it. I think we can make diversity or the pursuit of diversity maybe even politicize it. And when really what I'm talking about is loving people, loving your neighbor as you love yourself, and getting to know people who are not like you so that we can have big kingdom picture of diversity that we see in the Scriptures can be in our lives and in our churches. And so I think that's where, in terms of application, it could just be applied by stepping out of our comfort zone, out of our doors, and talking to our neighbors and getting to know one another, and Yeah, sharing the gospel and sharing our lives.
Yeah. So you actually grew up in a Black family in the South during the 70s and 80s. Talk to us a little bit about what your perception of self was at that time, and then how it shifted when you became a believer as an adult, I believe, and then how your identity in Christ, like how you see yourself now in relation to others versus maybe more that the distinction that you had growing up as a child in the culture you had then.
Yeah, well, I experienced quite a bit of racism, and though it wasn't anything like what my father experienced, I was never beat, but I've had someone yell something out a window and mock and so I experienced racism right off, and also in relationships, so parents not allowing certain me to go into their home, or a boy not allowed to talk to me because I'm a Black female. So just various things like that. So my identity was really wrapped up in what others thought of me, and in terms of, well, I'm a Black girl, and that was my first identity. And then from there, I didn't become a Christian until I was 22, and God, He rescued me from this crisis. I called it an identity crisis. I couldn't figure out who I was or what I was supposed to do or how I was supposed to manage in the world, just trying to figure things out. And the Lord just gave me a new identity, an identity in Him. And to be in Christ is to be a daughter of God, to be seen as righteous. And then I understood, as I read the scriptures, that He created me, and it was a good thing, and so I can rejoice and be excited about the way the Lord has made me and use it for His glory and the benefit of others, rather than being something confusing or just trying to fit into a mold. And so so the Lord just really wrecked my false idea of identity and gave me a new, complete new one in Him.
Hmm. So where would you say then, Trillia, like, you know, within the church specifically, where are the biggest opportunities for growth? Like, where do you still, you know, see division, whether in the church or in ministries or even in the Christian community at large in our neighborhoods? And what could we do better within the church to incorporate more diversity?
I think, first of all, talking about it and not being afraid of the topic. Mm-hmm. So pastors will need to stand up and proclaim, okay, well, this is what the scriptures say about all nations. This is what the scripture says about the doctrine of man. This is how we were made. This is what the scriptures say about our family. When we become Christians, we are brought into a new family. We are adopted. So there really doesn't need to be any racial barriers or divide, because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. That needs to be taught, and we need to have a vision cast about that, what it looks like to be in a new family, adopted in the church. And so I think that's where it begins. It really begins with leadership, talking about it, and embracing it. And then from there, I think it just begins with congregations, us, you and I, stepping out and really inviting people and loving people and not being afraid. I think fear often hinders these deep, beautiful relationships that we could have with one another, because we don't know. Well, you know that silly saying, you don't know what you don't know. Well, it's true. And instead of staying unknowing, we can step out and get to know our neighbors and invite people in, and not being afraid to do that. So I think those are just two ways that we could. And then I think recognizing that there is a problem. I think we want to think, well, the civil rights movement, wasn't that, what, 50 years ago? And aren't we past this? And then we turn on the TV or we read our newspapers and we see that there's still blatant racism and profiling and various things that we are just continuing to battle and read through and work through in our society. So obviously, we're not past it, mm-hmm. and so we want to recognize that we, until Jesus returns, there's going to be this issue of pride and self-righteousness in our hearts, where one man will be pitted in against another. I mean, we know this from Scripture that this is our fight, and I think one of the things that the devil would love for us to do is to be blind to it, just to think we're all okay, mm-hmm. so that we never grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting because I think it's, you know, whether you're black, white, Asian, whatever. I mean, the fact is we will naturally, whether just naturally or through fallenness, gravitate like towards like, you know, and that's what we do. It's what we're comfortable with. And, you know, even in interests and the way that we speak and all that kind of stuff. But you actually, I think I remember you telling the story of, is it a small group or a prayer group that you're in that's pretty diverse, a couple other women that you meet with regularly? And can you just share as an example of how that even helped you overcome some of your own, you know, break some of those barriers of saying, oh, I could easily sit comfortably here with my own family, my own friends. And but you really have learned, learned about this through your own experience.
Yes. So when I was in college, I met with two girls, one white, one Chinese, and we just had accountability and dinner every other Friday, and it was such a blessing and such a joy. And we did that for several years. We don't now. We're all in different cities and with kids, and but we were in each other's weddings, and we continue to communicate today. And those girls, we didn't set out and to make a point, or we didn't think, okay, this is how we're going to build diversity. That was never the goal. The goal was just to get together and to share each other's hearts and to love one another and to be accountable for spiritual growth. But in that, the Lord used our diversity as a real benefit, a diversity not just in ethnicity, but in experience, in our upbringing, everything. And it brought the diversity that I so longed for in our church. God brought those two friendships, and so instead of this influx of diverse people, he gave me friends and sisters, and it was so much even more valuable, I think, because it was built on a relationship, a real deep relationship. And so I think the Lord, he can do that, and for me, it was just a joy to have those friends and to build these relationships, which I think is really how we will build diverse churches, is through relationship, and it's not just about numbers or getting people in the door, you know. Mm-hmm. It's about relationships, about people, about loving people, and about building building relationships. So, yeah. So that's, yeah, it was a joy.
Yeah. Can you give a couple examples of that, Trillia? Because, I mean, I just think to myself, I mean, I grew up in the Bay Area of California, so I was certainly in my high school, for example, a minority among Asian races. You know, a lot of friends who were Vietnamese, Chinese, and, you know, I think of that, okay, like what would that look like carried over into the church? And how, I mean, is it really like, do we just take an elementary approach of, you know, how do we bridge those gaps, I would say, you know, instead of this awkward, like, okay, so I realize I just hang around white people, and so I need to bridge. Will you please be my friend? Because I don't know how to go about this another way. What are some natural areas of commonality or ways we can start building these friendships?
I think the first step is for us, for example, we were just looking for girls to be accountable to. Mm-hmm. So if you have a Bible study, surely you can invite someone else who doesn't look exactly like you into your Bible study. Or if you have lunch after church, you can look for someone who you don't know and invite them to church, to lunch. And so it doesn't have to be awkward. It doesn't have to be, hey, I want to be your friend, mm-hmm. because you're not exactly like me. But it can a natural outpouring.
I have to get my friend quota up. I have to increase my diversity quota. Yeah, that would be awkward.
That would, and it's not the goal. Mm-hmm. The goal isn't about quotas. It's about relationships and loving people. And if you go with that approach, and you can be hospitable. So hospitality would open up your home to someone, invite them in after church or to a Bible study, or just like you would invite anyone. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be awkward. I think that's why we want to catch this vision for God, how God created us. So God has, he's created us all in the image of himself, all in God's image we are created. And so we can naturally then approach people who are also image bearers, though they may have a different ethnicity or a unique experience. It doesn't have to be awkward because we're united in Christ. Mm-hmm. We have been justified and made new because of Jesus' death on the cross. So we can approach each other because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't have to be awkward. It can be just getting to know someone who is not like you, just like you would any other situation. And so yeah, I would just say the easy thing to do would be to ask your neighbor out to lunch.
Sure. Okay, well, yeah. Let's talk, in the couple minutes we have left, let's talk about racially diverse marriages, because that is, sure, that's your story. And of course, yeah, in our audience, we have a ton of people that just aren't married yet and are looking towards marriage. And it's interesting because when we discuss, marrying cross-racially here on the show, it's funny, you know, we've gotten letters from Black women who are like, you know, white women are taking all the Black men. And then we've got, you know, other, sure, people that are like, my mother wouldn't even let me date a Black man, or, you know, whatever. And so it's just, you realize that, wow, when the rubber hits the road, there are a lot of tensions that are still cropping up, even in 2014. There are a lot of things kind of coming to the forefront. And so what would you say? Could you speak from your own experience as far as, you know, what are some of the things to be aware of in dating someone of another race or another culture, too? A lot of international marriages, especially with the proliferation of online dating now, we're seeing this a lot more. So some of the unique things that you had to work through and overcome, and then what some of the great blessings have been as a result of that.
Sure. So when I was younger, I experienced some of that your callers or your writers would write in, your audience had experienced. So I would have mothers say, no, my son cannot date a Black girl. Mm-hmm. And so I had to work through a lot of forgiveness. And then just finding my identity in Christ. Once I became a Christian, they were in error. And it didn't matter because we are all created again equally. And then marrying Thurn, my husband, our families were completely accepting and just embraced us completely. So I never had any problem or issue there. Now, as a single waiting to get married, I had fear. I struggled with fear that it wouldn't happen, or that I would have some of the same experience that I had when I was growing up, that I would have parents who would be opposed to me, even though I'm a Christian and I love Jesus, that they would still be opposed to me just because of the color of my skin. I had that to work through. And then just not really sure in a predominantly white church, will there even be a suitor? Will there be a guy who would pursue me? I wasn't sure. I did have people pursue, but I wasn't sure. And I just had some things in the back of my mind that I was always wrestling with. But as a married couple, by the grace of God, a comfortable marriage. Our differences would, I would assume, be some of the same challenges that I would experience had I married a Black man. I mean, we just are sinners. So sinners getting together, mm-hmm, in a marriage, trying to work it out. I mean, that I think is probably our biggest thing, is just trying to work through conflict and understanding one another and loving one another. And, so just understanding marriage and growing together in the Lord, I think that would be, but we have had a blessing not to have a very tumultuous or it just doesn't seem like we've had to overcome much in terms of our ethnicity, our differences in that regard. But I do realize that there are others who may not have that experience, who may really struggle culturally, be a culture shock. And for that, in that regard, I would say that's where the gospel must be first in a marriage, because it unifies, it breaks down barriers, it helps us work through understanding one another and forgiveness. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that my experience hasn't been incredibly difficult, but I do understand that that can be.
Yeah. Well, it strikes me that you are also a Black woman who is reformed, which I think makes you probably more of an outlier than even like the race.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, you're just hanging out with Al Mohler and Russell Moore and kind of in that circle. And so so that's very unique, I think, as well, you know, and definitely has caused you, you know, to be in circles and to have to, as you're talking about, make these friendships and cross bridges and kind of extend, you know, understanding both ways in those kind of circles. So I think that's just fascinating as well. But like you said, I mean, I think you said when we met, you said, oh, I'm reformed. And so that's naturally thrust you into some circles that probably historically, you know, I think, and you mentioned the South as well, had bred, you know, more difficulty in some of that. So certainly in the middle of that.
I am. And it's been a blessing because I think they're interested in my voice and mm-hmm. interested in hearing from me. And that is a blessing because they don't have to be, but they are. And mm-hmm. I think it's because we're realizing that this is an area where we have kind of laid to the side, maybe just a little, and it's something that we need to address and really think through.
Sure. Well, cool. The book is United. I've been talking with Trillia Newbell, and the subtitle on that, Captured by God's Vision for Diversity. And of course, coming off of our roundtable, you heard some of our young adults here in our sphere talking about how that has played out for them practically, just in life, in dating, in the other spheres that they're coming up against. So, Trillia, thanks for being a voice on this and for weighing in and for really showing us, you know, the benefit of friendship because of the gospel, the difference that does make, the fact that because we are Christ's, we then can extend grace to one another in our differences. And so I think this is an important thing to unpack in the process. So thank you so much for being part of the conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been great.